Yes, there's a strong bipartisan delegation led by Foreign Minister Kevin Rudd, Shadow Minister Julie Bishop, senators and many others, joining 130 nuns of the Sisters of St. Joseph, but many others, and about 8,000 Australians from all over the world, including Peru.
Tell us, what do you think is it going to mean, first of all, for the country as a whole, this canonisation of Mary MacKillop?
Look, for non-believers and believers, I think fair-minded people will see it as a great salute to an extraordinary Australian who pioneered education with Indigenous people, education more broadly, who did so much to help so many other people, who battled away all the way through to Rome, almost penniless, and secured from the Pope a ruling in favour of the Sisters of St. Joseph at the time, in the middle of the 19th century, or in the second part of the 19th century. I think Australians will be honoured by the fact that Mary MacKillop is being recognised and canonised here in Rome.
Do you think she is somehow a figure that can transcend denominational boundaries? You say she's really a figure for the whole nation. How well is she known, perhaps, outside the Catholic community?
Increasingly a lot more, most notably because of the almost grand opera Italian-style dimensions of her life and work. I mean, born Melbourne, sacked unfairly as a schoolteacher in Portland, excommunicated in Adelaide, 6 months later re-communicated by the same bishop in Adelaide as he realised he had wrongfully acted, then through to Europe, three trips to Ireland, one trip to Scotland, France, Belgium, Germany, often having to beg for travel assistance along the way. Look, it's a fantastic story now, increasingly recognised because of the way, with positive attitude, she dealt with so much adversity and hardship.
As you say, she was a very strong-willed character, wasn't she? And she was considered something of a troublemaker by some of the church authorities of her day. Tell us a little bit more about this side of her character.
Look, it's centred on, to some extent, the central rule of government of a religious order, the bishop's domain in a particular diocese. That's a summation in one sense, but it was more complex than that. And yes, she stood her ground. We now know, in retrospect, thanks to an extraordinarily detailed biography by Father Paul Gardner, SJ, the first postulator, succeeded by Sister Maria Casey, the second postulator, that, in fact, she had right and ultimately might on her side.
She was also excommunicated, as you mentioned briefly, so for so-called insubordination. Her sisters were responsible in denouncing a case of sexual abuse by a priest in the Adelaide diocese, so much so that some people go as far as calling her a patron saint for abuse victims. What is the true story behind this?
Well, you'd have to ask Father Paul Gardner, who's in Rome as we speak and is broadly declaring some of the facts associated with that excommunication, but there was perhaps more than one reason, but what is fact is it was revoked. When she was thrown out on the streets, it was the Solomon Jewish family of Adelaide. It was Presbyterians, Methodists and Anglicans, including the Barr Smith family of Adelaide, that stepped forward to provide assistance to Mary MacKillop and her sisters who were destitute, who were thrown out literally on the streets of Adelaide that very day of excommunication. And so she was well known then amongst so many wide circles because she had some deep friends, close friends, non-Catholic friends throughout her whole life, most notably in and around Adelaide.
Do you think that she can be seen as something as a model for religious life today? There, despite there being a slight increase in vocations following World Youth Day in Australia, many congregations are suffering from a severe crisis. Do you think this may encourage new interest in religious life from people, from young people particularly?
It's not for me to dwell on that as ambassador to the Holy See beyond saying it could well do so, but others may be better placed to answer that question. What I do know is her outstanding example in overcoming adversity various as she moved around the world in the 19th century was outstanding. I mean, there was an incident in 1881, having come back from Rome, having gained momentum again, arriving in Albury to change trains to catch the onward train to Melbourne from Sydney because of the break of gauge at the border at the time, and the vicar rocked up to the convent and ordered her out of a convent and told the nuns not to let her stay, and she had to go and stay in a shanty hotel in Wodonga. And yet she wrote a letter which could have been absolutely negative about that local Catholic vicar, but in fact was, again, very generous in her summation of those particularly unnecessary and ugly events right at Albury Wodonga in Australia.
As you mentioned, she left an extraordinary legacy to the education, particularly of the poorest, most marginalised. What about her involvement with the Aboriginal community? There are some who claim that perhaps the church didn't actually get involved with the Aborigines, the Torres Strait Islanders, until several decades after her death.
Again, the biography lays out a great deal of chapter and verse on this, and most would say that she was a trailblazer with regard to Indigenous, and it's terrific. But a collection of artifacts and artwork from the Torres Strait Islands, the Kimberleys, Western Australia, that has been in the Vatican Museum since 1925 will be on display in a fantastic gesture and close cooperation inaugurated on the Friday night, Una Nota Australiana. I think it's just going to be a bonus, along with some material from Oceania, a great breakthrough by Father Mapelli and the director of the Vatican Museum. And I think many visitors from all over will be impressed by those artefacts going on display, reflecting the MacKillop work with the Indigenous.
There are lots of schools, social centres, colleges named after her. If you had to point to perhaps what you think is her greatest legacy to people today in the country, and indeed beyond, as you mentioned.
I tend to favour her education template. When she opened that first school at Panola in 1866, so good was her template that it was taken up by the South Australian government and more broadly as a way of providing a degree of quality primary education way out in the sticks, Panola, which happens to adjoin the Coonawarra wine region. It's reflective of a generosity of spirit that, in fact, the Coonawarra wine region has sent a shipment which has come from Adelaide, made it past the Somalian pirate zone, safely through the Suez Canal to Genoa. Somehow it ended up in Milan. We tracked it down. It's now under lock and key safely here in Rome. And, of course, that wine will be used by the Australian Embassy and the Sisters of St. Joseph as we have a number of functions before, during and after the canonisation weekend in salute of a wonderful Australian, a wonderful saint, a wonderfully positive person in Mary of the Cross MacKillop.